Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, let me set the stage for you. Ahab has gotten together with Jehoshaphat. Ahab is the king of Israel, 10 northern tribes. Jehoshaphat's king of the two southern tribes of Judah. They're not supposed to be together, but these kings are going to try to make an alliance and get those 12 tribes back together again. One of the things that Ahab wants to do is he wants to go and recover his border at a place called Ramoth-Gilead. And in order to do it successfully, he wants Jehoshaphat to come and bring the army of Judah with him and together go in. And that way he would have a better chance at being able to attack the king of Syria and get that place back. And so Jehoshaphat comes down there and says, "Yeah, man, you know, whatever you want to do. My horses are as your horses and my soldiers as your soldiers, and let's go do it." And then what happens is Jehoshaphat becomes concerned that they need to find out what the Lord has to say about this. Look at verse 5. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire," 1 Kings 22:5. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we beg you today to help us with this text. This is a beautiful text in the Scripture, and one that would really, really help us today to be encouraged to stand and stand alone when we have to stand for the right. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Holy Spirit in such a way, Father, that by preaching the words of God, your saints can be edified, you can be glorified, and sinners without Christ can be saved. And I ask you, please, to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 8 says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imla." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied so, like a big pep rally, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said unto him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O you people, every one of you. That's a man right there. That's a man right there. You see, Ahab identified him out of the whole crowd, and he said, there is yet one man, Micaiah. All these 400 prophets had gone and set up this big pep rally. They were all being influenced by a lying spirit from the Lord. Zedekiah even got the horns of iron and made a big display about how he was going to push out the Syrians and get Ramoth-Gilead back. Go over there because the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand. Jehoshaphat knew there was something wrong with this deal. He smelled a rat in there. That's why he called to see if there was another man. And that one man, Micaiah, was called by whom they could inquire of the Lord. And thank God he didn't let the Lord down when he had an opportunity to speak for God. Just one man that Ahab could think of in all of Israel who could give him the word of the Lord concerning this attack. Micaiah was one man. And according to this text, there's some outstanding characteristics of that one man that should excite every other man, and I would even say woman, in this church who might find himself or herself in exactly the same position one day. Micaiah was one man, first of all, who knew the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. In verse 8, the king of Israel says, he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. But he was a man that they could trust to give them an inquiry from the Lord. In verse 19, he even says to the kings, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. And he gives it to them. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, all the host of heaven standing before him on the right hand or the left, and he tells how the whole thing played out. That's the word of God. You say, how do you know that? It's written down here for you today. That's God's word. And that man gave that word. In verse 28, he says, with all the confidence that you would expect of a man of God, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. He knew the Word of God and he had confidence in the Word of God to stand on the Word of God and say what was going to happen before it happened, and it turned out exactly like he said it would. I don't know if you know how this thing plays out. But they go into the battle. Ahab dresses up in disguise. Jehoshaphat dresses up like a king. Duh. If the enemy is desirous of killing the king, which is what they are, then the first guy they see that dress up like a king, they're going to kill. They do. They run up on Jehoshaphat and they're ready to kill him. He goes, "Wow! I'm not Ahab. Look at this mug. You got the wrong guy." And they're like, "Oh yeah, we're right." Turned away from him. Well, they couldn't find him because he was dressed up in a disguise, but the Bible says that a soldier drew a bow at a venture. Have you ever gone bow hunting before? Any of y'all? You don't draw a bow at a venture and hit anything but earth or a tree. But you don't ever hit what you're aiming for unless you aim right at it. And even then, you may not hit it exactly where you wanted to. This guy drew a bow at a venture. I wonder where this thing goes. Just talking to his buddy. I don't know. Who could pick the king out of a crowd like that? Right between the shoulder blades. Boom! It comes out right in front of him. That shot was lethal. And because of that shot, Ahab died. Micaiah was the only one in the crowd that knew the word of the Lord well enough to be able to say that. Don't forget, in verse 11, there was a man named Zedekiah who, in his lie, even said to the kings, "Thus saith the Lord." But he wasn't speaking the word of God. He was just making a proclamation. Micaiah was the only one that knew the word of God. Listen, when somebody you know needs somebody to be able to speak the word of God because they need an answer from the Lord, be that person. Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." You know, there's nothing like being able, when asked for counsel, to quote a verse of Scripture that addresses the exact concern of the person who has come to inquire of you. They don't need your opinion. They need God's Word. And Micaiah was one man who knew the Word of God well enough to give it when he was called upon to give it. These kids, we had an awards banquet last night, and kids were being awarded for various categories. The teens were being awarded for various categories of service and Bible reading and memory and that kind of stuff. May I tell you something? Bible memory is not just about an Academy gift card. That is an incentive, but may I tell you something? That whole process of being able to memorize that Scripture is to get that Scripture down in there, because there's one day that somebody may call upon you for something from God. You don't want to be fumbling around trying to find it or getting on a Bible concordance looking for some word that comes out of that thing. You want God's Word. Look at the next thing. Micaiah was one man who knew the Word of God. But I'll tell you something else. Micaiah was one man whom the king hated. Look in verse 8 again. You saw it. Because I repeated it several times. "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." I hate him. Now you know what? Generally speaking, in a country, you don't go out of your way to try to get on the bad side of the king. I mean, there's nothing I'm doing right now to try to get on the bad side of the mayor in Corpus Christi, or the governor of the state of Texas, or the president of the United States. I'm not looking to get on somebody's bad side. However, if you have to make a choice like Micaiah did between being a friend of God or a friend of the king, choose God. Amen. Choose God. And that's all that Micaiah did. He was living under a very wicked king. Ahab's the wickedest king that Israel ever had. And there was no way that Micaiah could be his friend and be a friend of God. Know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God, the Bible says? So he chose God, and by making that choice, that caused him to end up being an enemy of King Ahab. I tell you what, when it's all settled out, I want people to know I was a friend of King Jesus. Amen. Okay? And if that means that the world is going to hate me as a result of that, or some other official upon whom I may need to rely is going to hate me for that, I'm going to take my stand with Jesus. And that's what Micaiah did. Jesus already told us, we mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." That's what Jesus said. "If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know what's happened in Christianity today? It's blended. The churches, in order to keep up big crowds, have brought the world in so that you can't make any distinction, and that way people who are worldly can come to church and they can say, see, we've got a big church. And they do everything that the world does to make people who are worldly not feel uncomfortable. But then you know what that does? It makes all the Christians in there carnal Christians, so that when you leave, guess what? You look just like the world out there. There's no distinction. And Micaiah was a man that stood out. And he wasn't trying to draw attention to himself. He just stood for God, and everybody else didn't stand for God. And that made him the sore thumb that he was. The truth of the matter is, the closer you get to God, the further you get from the world. May I tell you something? The Christian life is not a popularity contest. There was another prophet before Micaiah that had run-ins with Ahab. Remember his name? Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. I mean, there's a lot of ites in the Bible. You never notice that? Tishbite and Horonaim and Horonites. And Ann was asking me about the Horonites. That was Sanballat. And Tony was up here preaching one day about the termites. And I mean, there's all kind of ites in the Bible. Listen, Ahab didn't get along with Elijah either. And Elijah knew him well enough to walk up to him without any protocol, without anybody intervening, without any pomp and circumstance. He could see him wherever he was, and they knew each other face to face, and he had the kind of reputation where he could just walk right up to him and talk to him face to face. One time Ahab saw him, he said, "Is that you, your enemy of Israel?" Elijah turned to him and said, "You're the enemy of Israel. Talking to the king." John the Baptist puts his finger right in Herod's nose. He said, "You don't have any business having your brother Philip's wife. That's adultery. That's against the law of God." He got his head cut off for that thing. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you something. Micaiah was one man whom the king hated. And if one of your measures of closeness to God is that there are some people in the world that don't like you, don't suck your thumb at night when you go to sleep. It's the way it's supposed to be. Micaiah was one man who knew the word of God and whom the king hated, but I'll tell you something else. He was one man who could preach evil. Look again in verse 8. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why? He doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Joshua, quit talking like that. Don't let the king say so. Look at verse 18. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" Well, at least he lived up to his reputation, didn't he? You know something? We have a lot of preachers today that can preach good. I mean, they just fill the airwaves today with just good, good, everything's lovely. Sugar and syrup and honey and everything nice. And listen, there's a place for that. I'm encouraged sometimes by good things from the Word of God. But may I tell you something? I read this Bible also. There's a lot of bad stuff in here. There was creation, but there was also Noah's flood. There's a heaven, but there's also a hell. There's the mercy of God, but there's also the wrath of God. And you got to watch out for these guys that always avoid those negative things in the Bible and pretend that they're not there. God said, you watch out for those guys. Because he said, they're not working for me. In other words, it's a balanced thing. We don't have to be negative all the time. But we don't have to be positive all the time either. I've got a truck out there with battery cables hooked up to a battery that has a positive pole and a negative pole. And it won't run if it's not connected to that negative pole. And the Bible doesn't work unless you get both sides. Paul said to us, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinful. See? There's good, but then there's evil. There's life, and there's death. There are the streets of gold, but then there's the lake of fire. There's salvation, but there's sin. There's liberty, but there's responsibility. There's the grace of God, but there's the wrath of God. There's rewards, but there are losses. There's mercy, but there's judgment. And it's not a complete gospel without both sides. And Micaiah was one man who could preach evil when it was necessary to do so. Listen, Micaiah's prophecies were so contrary to Ahab's wickedness that when Micaiah sarcastically imitated the other prophets and said what they were saying, Ahab knew immediately that he was lying. Don't you remember when he came out there and they inquired of him and said, okay, tell us what the deal is. What's the answer from the Lord? Tell us how it's supposed to go. Well, all the other prophets prophesied saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. So, when Micaiah gave his first answer, he answered just like they did. He said in verse 15, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Ahab knew right away, that sarcastic, no good, sorry dog. We called you in here to tell us the truth, now tell us the truth. And when he did, he didn't like it. But he knew when he sounded like everybody else that he wasn't telling the truth. He wasn't speaking for God. Micaiah was one man who knew the word of God. The king hated. He could preach evil. But let me tell you something else. He was one man whom the Lord trusted. If I'm going to give my word to anybody, I'm going to give it to that man right there because I can trust him to tell the truth about what I said. He's not going to change it. One man whom the Lord trusted. Look at verse 13. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, you know, patting him on the hand, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good. Micaiah looked at him with that fire in his eyes and that growl in his lungs. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That's what Balaam said. I cannot say but what the Lord says. But then he did say something the Lord didn't say, and he got Israel in trouble and got himself killed. This man God could trust to say what he wanted to say. That's the kind of preacher that God is looking for. Listen, when you read in the New Testament, Paul knew that God had trusted him with the gospel. He knew that that was a sacred trust. And he wasn't about to abuse it, even though Paul could have gotten along a lot better in life if he would have just softened up the gospel a little bit. You know, everywhere he went, he either got beaten, stoned, whipped, thrown into prison, starved out, cussed, run out of town. I mean, he just wasn't very, oh, Paul's coming to town. He just immediately, everybody bristles up. But Paul said, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. And he said, I don't care whether you like it with sugar on it or not. This message is coming with Tabasco, period. Because that's the way God wants it today. And God trusted him. And you know something? Paul was faithful to deliver those words of God, even though he knew everywhere he did, they were going to hate him for it. And he wasn't going to disappoint the Lord by breaking that trust. Why? When God entrusts you with the gospel, it is a sacred trust. And you're going to account to him, not to the people to whom you preached. Micaiah was one man whom the Lord trusted. I'll tell you something else. He was one man who could stand up to the crowd. He was one man who could stand up to the crowd. Look here in verse 23 and 24 and 25, same passage. He is there and has just given the kings the word of God about how God put a lying spirit in the prophets, right? Watch what he says in verse 23. Now therefore behold, so you understand where he is. They're in the gate of Samaria. Whenever they had big official business to conduct in these cities, they always went to the gate. Big principal place. Everybody passing through. The kings were on their thrones. Big pomp and circumstance. Micaiah has been brought by the messenger. There's the 400 prophets all before the thrones doing their big pep rally. There are a bunch of spectators around there. Micaiah comes in. Everything hushes down. He tells them the word of the Lord. And then while he's got the attention of the entire audience, prophets included, he says in verse 23, now therefore behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all what? These, thy prophets. He's telling them face to face, you scoundrels, you lying dogs. Pointing at them. Identifying them. See that? And the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Zedekiah the son of Canaanah, verse 24, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Zedekiah never had the Spirit of the Lord. That's just a sarcastic, condescending remark to put Micaiah down when the whole crowd and the kings would stand against him. Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Meaning, your king is going to die. Things are going to go bad in this country, and you, little chicken little, are going to go hide in a closet to save your own stinking neck. And then when you're in that closet all by yourself, wetting yourself, then you're going to know where the Spirit of the Lord was. Amen. Micaiah did not break under the peer pressure. Now you're going to find a lot of preachers today, even back then, who preach what they preach, not because they got that from the Lord, but because of the company they're keeping. And they're afraid to preach outside of that, whatever God shows them, because they know as soon as they do, the rest of the crowd's going to go, ha-ha, you're one of His, not one of ours. And they're not going to like Him. Those guys today that are like that are very much unlike Micaiah. And they're very much unlike the apostles. All the Pharisees told the apostles in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, don't you preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And they said, you know what? Now we have a choice to either preach it the way you want it preached or preach it the way Jesus Christ preaches it. We ought to obey God rather than men. And they walked out of the room, had a prayer meeting, and thanked God that they were able to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, where has that gone in modern Christianity? It shouldn't be over. Where are the Micaiahs? Listen, I look around here and I think about college students that are getting on fire about the ministry and teenage students that are getting on fire of the ministry, and I think about you guys and your desire to serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. It'll cost you something. One of the things it's going to cost you is it's going to separate you from the crowd, but God bless you if you will stand with the Lord. Because then you'll have something to preach they need to hear. Listen, the Pharisees back in Jesus' day, many of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were afraid to confess Him because they didn't want to hear the reproach and ridicule of their friends. They love the praises of men more than the praises of God, the Bible says. You know what you're afraid of? You're afraid of a little ridicule. You don't want somebody to make fun of you. You're afraid of a little rejection. Why would you be concerned about being friends with somebody who's on his way to hell and trying to preach to please that guy? You ought to be preaching with enough fire to convince that guy he's going in the wrong direction to get right with God so he can be saved. Amen. Don't worry about your own hide. Worry about the truth of the Word of God. And if the crowd won't stand with you, that's fine. Micaiah said, I don't care. These guys are liars. And he had their number. He was right. And he had the wherewithal to be able to stand under that much pressure and identify the liars. Micaiah, that's a man that could stand with God. I'll tell you something else about Micaiah. He was one man who was right. He was right. He was right. It's better to be right than to be popular. Verse 26, the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king. Make it real authoritative. Put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And as they're dragging him away, Micaiah turns his head and says, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O ye people. And out he went. And buddy, he was right. The king came back that night in his chariot, dead. And they washed his blood out of that chariot, and the dogs licked it up in the same place where he had killed Naboth to steal his vineyard in the prior chapter. I'd rather be right than popular. Of all the prophets who prophesied that day, Micaiah was the only one who got it right. And that's because he stood on the Word of God and not on anything else. Let me tell you something. Anytime you stand on the prophetic words of God in this Bible, no matter how much pressure they bring, no matter how they threaten you, in the end, they're going to be wrong and you're going to be right. Weren't they wrong about Jesus, the Messiah? Weren't they wrong about His resurrection? They're also wrong about His second coming. And I'm going to tell you something. He is coming back. Absolutely. Anyone who has trusted Him is going to be saved when He returns. I say saved now already, but I mean taken with Him when He returns. Anybody who has rejected Him will be damned. He said, preacher, now don't you be turning that stuff on us. You've been talking about Micaiah and that crowd, and now you're turning it on to us. Yeah, I'm turning it on you. If you came in here without Jesus Christ today and Jesus Christ were to show up right now, we'd all be gone. You'd be sitting here looking around like this. Whoa, where'd everybody go? Let me tell you something. You do not want to find yourself in a church like this on the day Jesus returns. It'll scare the hell out of you. So that's what we're trying to do right now before it happens. So you can get that out of you and get saved. And that way, when He comes, you can go with us. I tell you what, I couldn't sit where you're sitting and hear this kind of preaching and walk out of here going, ho-hum, I don't know whether I want to get saved or not. I'm not sure it's worth it. Somebody says, I don't think getting out of hell is a good reason to get saved. I think it's an excellent reason. You'll learn the rest of it after you get your behind out of the flames. There's a lot to know about salvation more than getting out of that, but I'll tell you, if that's the incentive, I'll take it. Listen, only those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are saved. Now, you may not like what I have to say. You may have heard another preacher has convinced you to reject the truth, just like all those prophets convinced Ahab to reject the truth. In the end, you're going to be doomed like Ahab, and I'm going to be right. But that's because I believe the words of God, and you don't. Now, if you want to believe the words of God say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let me tell you something. I think that'd be a real good thing for you to do today. Amen. It'll change your life. And believe it or not, you'd be happy. Let's pray. Father, we're very thankful for Micaiah, your man, the one man. Stand up to all that nonsense. Now I pray you'll put in the heart of every young man, young woman in this church today, Father, that spirit that was in Micaiah, to be trusted by you with the gospel. And to stand, even though the crowd and the rest of the world's all going in a completely different direction, even though they might be hated by somebody they love. Taking a stand with you has never been a bad deal. And Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm concerned that there could be somebody here today without Jesus Christ. And we didn't really preach the gospel. We preached all around it. We know you died for our sins. We know you were buried, and that you spent 3 days and three nights in hell to pay for the eternal consequence of our sin and rose from the dead to prove that the eternal life you offer is true. That's the gospel. If anybody would believe that and appropriate it to themselves by receiving Jesus Christ today, Father, they'd be saved. I'm asking you, please, work on the hearts of these men and women who are here today. If there's anybody amongst us that's lost, I pray by the time we finish this invitation, they'll be so concerned for their souls, they'll come to one of us and say, tell me about Jesus, I need to be saved. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.